great to be here with you today again. It's hard to believe it was clear back in October when I was here last. I had to look up my calendar to see what I actually preached on, but it's great to be here. So the title of this message this morning is God Has Room for Thugs. And as I was reading throughout the passage of scripture that we're going to go over tonight, I was reminded of thugs and people that are in our society who have great hope because of Jesus. And I'm also reminded that it reminds me of people in the church who also have hope and could be considered thugs in the church. And so as we look at this, you'll understand where we're coming from as we get to the end of it. But God has a way of freeing thugs outside the church and freeing thugs that kind of creep up inside the church so that they're free to live by the truth of the gospel. And that's what we're going to discover today is that God makes a way for thugs. He gives room for thugs. We're going to go to 3 John, and we're going to read the whole chapter. And so, beginning with verse 1. I don't have it on PowerPoint, so if you have your Bibles, turn to 3 John, and we will begin reading. 3 John, verse 1. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for your brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that they may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and put them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do it so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. You're wondering, where's the thugs in this story? You may have spotted one. But we're going to take a look at this. I've been going through this the last several weeks in Lakeview, and we found out last week that when he refers to himself as the elder, it really is he is the leader over the sister church in 2 John, or the lady church, and then the sister churches that go with. And so I'm referring to John as the district superintendent of the churches. He's kind of an overseer of these churches that he's writing to. And John, he equaled an overseer, something like a DS. But in 3 John, we see he has a friend that he is writing to, and his name is Gaius. And who is this Gaius? Well, there's actually four throughout the scriptures that I'm aware of. And he is not the other three. So there you go. But the other three were known by Paul. But this Gaius is a friend of John's. And he calls him the Beloved. The Beloved. So there was a distinct friendship, a distinct relationship between John and Gaius. And John was concerned for his friend's health and his very soul. And I think that's really important in this letter. It's very important. It wasn't that he was sick. It wasn't that he was depressed and unspiritual. It was that he said he was going to pray for him. He prayed for him that things would go well. And John knew that one's spiritual health, when it was down, it could affect your physical health. When your physical health is down, it can affect your spiritual health. One can bounce back and forth to the other. So he prays, man, Gaius, I just pray that your physical health and your spiritual health is good and it's well. And he prays for him in this way. It was John's greatest joy that his children, those who he led, were faithful to the truth. I don't know about you, if you know a pastor's heart, you want to look at the congregation, you want to look at the churches as John, as he oversaw churches, and he wants to see, his children, people in the church walking in the truth. Being who Christ called us to be, it is so encouraging. Not only did they stand in the truth, but they walked in the truth, and the church was an active truth, an act of love, an act of reaching out in hospitality. One who pursues the truth by actively living in the truth. John was looking at Gaius from a pastor's heart. And he sends this letter to him. But then there's these strangers that were sent to him. Who were they? Who were these strangers? His friends were faithful to complete strangers. These were messengers. Or in another word for it is these were missionaries that were sent to this church. And they had love for them. And John said, When you bring them in, treat them right. When they take off, treat them right. Do good to them. Something that what John refers to is that honors God. What does this mean? Hospitality. It means hospitality. It was so important to John. Gaius' actions were spot on. And it was recognized. And John's saying, you know what? Well done. You're doing the right thing. There was no help for these missionaries outside the church from the pagan world. It was the church's responsibility to accept them, to take them in, and then to send them out. I mentioned this morning as I shared this message that in a non-denominational church, you send a missionary to Africa, they might have five or six churches. They may have just one church that supports them. That church misses supporting them, and they might find themselves coming home, or not eating, or struggling. And that's one thing I'm very thankful for in the Nazarene Church, is that we not only support them in our WEF offerings, but we also support them when they come to our churches with the deputation offerings. And so our missionaries in the Nazarene Church are I like to say, well supported. They may disagree with me. It depends. But at least there is a package for them in the Nazarene Church compared to some other churches that are out there. One of my favorite things about the Nazarene Church is that we have missionaries in over 156 world areas. Yeah. Over 156 world areas. You think about that. We deploy missionaries from 40 world areas. It used to be, at least when I was a kid, I think all missionaries came from the United States. Or sure seemed that way. You never heard about missionaries leaving from Africa to go somewhere or other places. But now we're at the point where we're sending missionaries from 40 different world areas. And can you believe? It's been a struggle in the church, or at least some of the churches that I've been in, to support missionaries. I've had people come to me and say, why are we sending money to someone we don't know? Why are we sending money when we could use it here, whether it's, you know, in whatever town that I'm preaching in? Why are we supporting someone else when you know that the need is here too? Well, for one, it's to show our hospitality. The other is, we will never in Klamath Falls or Lakeview ever reach someone in Papua New Guinea if we're not sharing with our missionaries or paying our WEF budgets. And I think it's very important for us to understand that we're a part of a church that is, well, the church, Christ Church, it's all around the world. But in the Nazarene Church specifically, over 156 world areas that we get to help out with. That's how we get to help in Papua New Guinea. That's how we get to help in Ireland. That's how we get to help in Africa. And I have to question someone who would say, why are we supporting them when we could use it here ourselves? It's because we want to reach around the world and not just be stuck in one town and have it all to ourselves. So, either way, let me go back here. How could this be a bad thing is the question. How could this be a bad thing? It's not. It's not at all. Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. He was a pushy member of the Christian congregation who loved the limelight. That's what I'm told. He was what we would call the church troublemaker. We all know there's no troublemakers in the church, right? Right? Okay. I'm glad you don't have no troublemakers in this church. But surely, John looked at this and he saw what was going on and he said, this needs to be taken care of. This needs to be taken care of. He says, I will come and I will take care of this. And right there, I've got to pause and say, can you imagine being a district superintendent? It's not a dream of mine. It really isn't. It's not a dream of mine. You know, you think about the things that go on a district and in each individual church, and then there's a district superintendent that really doesn't even know the people that are in the church, and he has to come and take care of unfaithful pastors. He comes and takes care of, you know, gossip and slander and lawsuits, and I mean, you name it. A district superintendent sees it. It's not a dream of mine. Did I tell you that? It's not a dream of mine. Diotrephes was spreading malicious nonsense, gossip, and John was willing to put it to an end. And I want to stop right there and pause and say this. And I want you to really understand what I'm saying here. Accountability in the church is faithfulness to the truth of God. Accountability is faithfulness to the church of the truth of God. It truly is. It makes people mad. You know that? When someone's held accountable, it makes them mad. It can make them angry. It can be a really stressful moment. But so is gossip, and so is malicious nonsense. But let me point out this. Accountability is not sin. Gossip and malicious nonsense is absolute sin. And so we need this accountability. And that's one thing that I love about the Nazarene Church is that we have accountability. I've had people come into our church there in Lakeview, and they've told us about previous churches that they've been in. They have no idea where the money goes. There's no financial statements. There's no record of where the tithes go. And just over and over and over, there's no accountability. And that's one of the reasons they're at our church now. Because that church is closed and these other churches are closed because the trust was not there. Accountability is good. So verse 10, he said, "So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us." Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. So here you had one guy, didn't like the missionaries and didn't like those who supported their missionaries. And he took it up on himself to push them out of the church. He goes on to say, "Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." Doing good indicates here service to God. It's not just doing good, but he's indicating that we are to serve the Lord and we are to do it with our service and everything that we have. We can be the church and do good. We can be the church and do good. It's not, we're not like Diotrephes, and if it doesn't line up with our idea, we just boot him out. We can be the church and do good. We really can. By the grace of God, we can be faithful to the truth and do so much good. A lack of hospitality is not a good behavior in the church. But we must ask for forgiveness when we realize that, you know, maybe we were like this guy. Maybe we didn't treat others. It doesn't have to be missionaries, but anyone that comes through our doors, whether it's Lakeview, Klamath Falls, we need to understand that hospitality is serving Christ and serving others. Standing on the truth is far better than standing on our agenda or our thoughts or our actions or our pride. Let's turn and look at the other side of this church. And this is the side that I really, really want to talk about today. That is, we kind of are moving out of the thug of the church. And we're going to take a look at a different person. We're going to take a look at Demetrius. Demetrius, he was spoken well of, and even by the truth. He was a Christian convert who lived in Ephesus, highly respected by Christian believers. It's also thought that he could be the same Demetrius who met up with Paul. He stirred up riots in Ephesus because Paul's preaching was hurting the business of making and selling the town goddess Artemis. He hid his attack on Paul by appealing to the religion and patriotism of his town's people. If you want to really rile someone up, attack their religion. Attack their patriotism. You will get someone riled up very fast. The anger will build up. The anger will just explode when you go in that direction. Paul escaped with just his life as he left Ephesus in this attack from Demetrius. Because it looks as if this Demetrius went from the great opposition of the church, and we all realize that Paul was exactly in the same boat. Paul was a thug. Demetrius was a thug, according to my notes. And guess what? He went from great opposition, Demetrius did, to the church becoming the backbone of the church. The one who John said, "Take a look at this. He's living the truth. He's living the truth and he's doing good." One extreme to the other. Paul's the same way. One extreme to the other. And I want to just repeat the title of this message, that God makes room for thugs. He makes room for thugs. Demetrius had the fruit, and he wasn't just an opinionated Christian. He had the evidence by his life. He was right with God. Isn't that just like God? To reach into a world that's dark and nasty and pull someone out of it who has zero hope, and everyone else around him thinks he has zero hope, and he brings him into the church, and the guy gets saved, and he's God's servant to do good, to work in the church, to be a leader in the church. Isn't that just like God? It really speaks to me. There just might be people in our realm of influence who absolutely annoy us or even threaten our lives, whom God wants to use in the future to the backbone of the church. You ever considered that? It's time to pray. Pray for those leaders of the future church. You see the craziness and the riots and the weirdness that's going on in our world today. Pray for them. Can you imagine if God had a leader come out of that movement that's going on around the world that's destroying things? And he makes him a leader in the church. In 20 years, we could be reading about a great pastor who God changed his life from smashing windows and burning buildings, and he moved him into the church because God changed his heart. It's amazing. It's amazing what God can do. In this case, this Demetrius is the same fellow. If he is the same fellow as they say, Paul didn't think so at the time. Paul didn't see a church leader as he was running for his life to get out of there, to escape Ephesus. We should speak to those who oppose our faith. We should speak to them. We should pray for them and pray that they are saved. And ask the Lord to reach in to the rebels or the thugs of our world and to change their hearts for Him. Remember this. I want you to remember this. When God reaches in and He grabs thugs, He doesn't leave them there. They will grow into exactly what God wants them to grow into, because He will change them from the inside out. So, what I'm not suggesting is we're pulling thugs out of the world and the thugs are leading the church. Oh no. Every one of us, before we knew Christ, we had something in our lives, and I made this word up this morning, that was thuggish. It's thuggish. And God came, He saved us, and He freed us, and He calls us into ministry and to serve Him, to do good things. He freed us from our thuggish. I hope you take that word with you. They may one day be leaders in the future church. And I want to close with this morning. The agenda of the church doesn't change. You realize that? No matter who God picks, the agenda of the church doesn't change. The message of the church doesn't change. But God will reach into an evil world and pull people into the church that can lead the church. And that's amazing. And that's true testimony to who God is. God has room for thugs to reach into their hearts and to bring them to Himself. Our faithfulness needs to become more and more and more to the truth. Just because we love thugs does not mean we, the church, become thug lovers in their agenda. Our faithfulness needs to become more and more to the truth. Our God can change the lives of those who reject our faith. That's why it's important to pray for all those around you. It just might be the one who annoys you the most is going to be the one who gives their heart to Christ. And they will be great leaders in the church someday. Our God can change their lives and make them faithful and truthful followers and even great leaders of the church. And remember this, if He changes their hearts, the truth remains the same no matter the leadership or the background. I want you to think about your background. Is it spotless? Is it spotless? Mine is not spotless. But the Lord forgave, and the Lord leads us into doing good and to doing service for Him. The truth will remain the truth. The truth doesn't change. God changes mankind's heart with His absolute truth. I guess what I'm trying to say is, as crazy as the world is today, stand upon God's truth and let God do His work. Love people and trust in the Lord and pray for these folks that are participating in evil. Because God can reach into a world of thugs and make room for them. And they will be changed. They will see the truth. I know it's hard to believe, but we see about it in Paul's life and Demetrius's life and in our lives. We can see that. May we be faithful to the truth and let God do His work in us and in those He wants as the backbone of the church. It's God's church. It's not my church. It's not Pastor John's church. It's not your church. It's God's church. And we need to be faithful to Him. Well, I hope you agree with me. God has room for thugs. God has room for thugs. He won't leave us as thugs, but He has room to change us from thugs to saints. That's the God we serve. And so I want to close with praying for the leaders around our world that are involved in evil, that are involved in riots, that are involved in these things that are going on that just makes our world crazy. And believe it or not, when I came to this passage of Scripture, I had no idea I would even be talking about riots or good and evil. I didn't know where the Lord was going to lead me. But I want to pray for those who are in the midst of evil, that God makes room for them. He speaks to their heart, and that one day they'll be great leaders in the church. So will you do that with me? Let's pray. Father, we just come before You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for reaching down into Paul's life and changing him and making him a great leader in the church. Father, if this Demetrius is the same Demetrius of Ephesus, we thank You for reaching down into his life and making him a great leader and pillar in the church, living by the truth and having the fruit and living for You. But Father, right now, we lift those, Lord, to You that are living in destructive mode, evil. Father, I specifically pray for the leader. Lord, that You would reach down in Your mighty hand and You would touch their heart. Lord, that You would bring change, that You would bring truth, and that You would bring them to their knees and change their hearts for You. And Lord, may we see in 20 years, may we see in 5 or 10 years,
the power of Christ in the midst of evil. So, Father, we pray for gang members and rioters all across this great nation. Lord, we lift them to you and we ask that you would have your way spiritually and physically in their hearts and minds today. Lord, we need you desperately. And we, the church, we cry out to you, Lord, because you are our answer. You are the only one who can take us from thugs to saints. And we need this today. We need this for our future. Lord, I thank you for hearing our prayers. And I thank you, Lord, for a church here in Klamath Falls who kneels before you and stands upon your word and your truth. Lord, may you bless them with not only new thugs, but new saints, and lead this church, Lord, closer and closer to you. Father, we just thank you for all the blessings. We thank you for your love and your faithfulness and your truth. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. Are we closing in another song?
We're good.
Okay. All right. Well, have a great week. Good to be here with you.